I'm not gonna ask Pumla to stay at the front for a lot more time, but I'm going to take a question that was right at the back here. I see two questions right at the back. So two there. There was one right at the back over there. Hold on. Is it okay that everybody, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes.
And then?
My name is Jesse. I'm a friend that I'm not going to be before. I'm just going to go straight to the point. I am a feminist and on the list server of AGI, and I just want to say it's my honor to be able to come here and be able to share this. And as I've said, I've come here on a research trip just for a day. I leave in the morning, but I try to fit in my program just so I could come and be with you all. My question number one would be, I think the issue of GPV, it would be important to look at it originally, because one of the criticisms I have in feminist of South Africa is I think there's often a tendency to look at yourselves and then think you're seeing everybody. For me, I think it would be very important when you look at it from a regional perspective. And the reason is simple. We have to be very careful when we are feministing not to throw away the baby with the bathwater. And the reason I'm saying this is Western feminism, to me, made that mistake of being polarized and then sticking to that and saying, this is the thing. The backlash comes and then we end up thinking, we have to change everything. I think we should be very, very careful. We haven't gotten where we are by fluke. At the same time, you are right to say there's something that we're not doing well. So I'm having a problem here interrogating the term differently. Should we feminist differently? Because my worry is we should be careful not to end up losing what we have gained. I'm saying this as a person who's coming from a country that's woman, that's as a president, who's a woman. And I don't know how many forums I'm looked at as the devil just because I'm saying this doesn't mean we're in a post-woman era. Because this business is structural. So to me, the thing is, we are now fighting state patriarchy. And when state patriarchy kicks in, we must be very careful not to find that maybe instead of saying, how do we fight this state that's masquerading as everybody? Because I'm still to be convinced, Pumla, that it's many men we are fighting. I will need you to convince me. Because I'm thinking just because that this country managed to do a bush, that is, get a very weird person. Without know that it is in you. By the time the soldiers see the camouflage that's coming, it's very difficult for the body to pull its resources. Now, why don't we also see that? To an extent, saying there are many might be more destructive than when we actually say, you know what, you are not many. It's just that there are some of you who are in the right place, who are in strategic places, and what we need to do is, how do we smoke you out of there?
Do you need to go out again? Jesse, please can I respond a little bit? I know you have to go.
You can. Yes, you can.
Thank you for coming. Jason, I don't agree. I don't agree. I think that, you know what? I think that we've given too much away, right? I think that there was a time when you know, where people earned the right to be your comrades, right? I think that alliances are chosen. And I think part of why we're losing what we're losing, I mean, we've come with all the gains, not just, you know, all the gains we have are precisely because I think we were a lot, I think we have become less strategic, right? And so I think the reason we started saying, most men are great, it's just there are a few, right, who are strategic, right? Because we're all patriarchally shaped, right, until we start unlearning and. But I just don't understand, if we say, if the stats, and we know that the stats are underreported, If we say that women in South Africa are more likely to be violated than not, I don't know then how we then say it's a minority. Because then, but I'm willing to be convinced. If somebody's going to say to me, well, here are these 100,000 men, and they manage to get around very fast, and everybody else is being silent, I'm going to be very happy to issue a blanket apology to the majority of South African millions of men who are non-violent, who are taking the rap for these 100,000 men. But currently, I don't understand how most of us are violated at least once. Okay? And we only talk about rape and femicide and battery, but also routinely sexually harassed and grabbed. I mean, you have your asses and your boob grabbed all the time in the streets, right? Across.
Yeah.
I mean, so when I say most men, and I'm just curious about what happens if we stop saying, because it seems to me that part of how a lot of deliberately and happily violent men, but who stand on podiums and say, we oppose violence, right? Not just Zuma. I'm not just talking about Zuma. I'm talking about, when I say powerful men, I don't just mean politically in the kind of formal political sense. But we have many, 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 many men in this country who are visible across the different work publics, right? Who stand and they say, they mount feminist talk. But everybody knows that they go home and beat the hell out of their multiple partners, right? Everybody knows who they have raped. But they're able to continue to do both. And we say, oh, well, you know, we also have people who constantly, you know, so I'm not sure how we solve that, right? But if most of us, it feels to me like if I really continue to say that it's a minority of men, I'm doing something against women that I really don't want to be able, I don't want to do anymore. Because I'm saying that most of us are lying, or most of us are imagining it. Because where are these people? Who are these people? I can't see 100,000 doing it. But I think you're completely right about South African exceptionalism. At least, and sometimes those of us who critique it sometimes fall into it. Myself, I'm speaking for myself, included. But it's wonderful to see you. And it's so good to see you on the continent for a change.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. I'm going to take the two more, and then I'm going to invite us to do something else.
Hi, so nice to meet you. My name is Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
And I think my question relates a little bit to what the previous feminist lady said. Oh, sorry, I'm not supposed to say what she said. My question really, in light of your comments that patriarchy and violence against women, it's not a minority of men, it's white men. How do we feminist differently in such a way that we work with men and boys? Or is that kind of work on masculinity, is it doing more harm? Or should we just abandon it altogether and just give up on groups that work with men and boys for gender equality? Or or do we, you know, take to the streets and do that other thing which we won't name, which we could go to jail for? Is there a space for us to do positive work with men and boys? Because I'm also frustrated because, you know, they are the majority of people doing harm in various kinds of ways and spaces. And is it really strategic of us to just focus on working with women alone? How do we change the mindsets of men then? And I think there's a danger to allow men to work on their own to do this kind of work.
Politically, I just think you progress. Feminist men must do work with their people. Just like my thing. on how do I learn, except in the very small confines of a classroom, which is my job, so I can talk about masculinity there a little bit. But I don't think that part of doing my being a feminist subject in the world should be taken. I'm not interested in investing huge chunks of my time teaching men how to be feminist. I think feminist men should teach other men how to be feminist. Just like I think white people should teach other white people how to do anti-racist work. I am not spending my time. It's complicated enough being a black woman who's a feminist in the world. People must sort out their own people. And lower in the hierarchy, in the violent hierarchy, than I am. Of course, then I have a lot more time for that and being called on my own crap. But I just think if you're more powerful than me, you must just get your people to sort. I'm not going to spend time making you feel better because it's a bad use of my time. But do I think that there's space for feminist masculinity studies and masculinity work? Yes, and I think some of that gets done. However, I'm convinced that it is a tiny percentage of the highly visible industry that is masculinity work, right? I've heard way too many conservative, like, fascist, gender fascist things said in spaces that are supposed to be doing progressive masculinity work. Too many excuses. Some of the most violent men in the academy have books on progressive masculinities. I have no, you know, so I think it's possible to do, you know, to just kind of be a career masculinity person who's actually anti-feminist, but hey, you know, this is a very good, in the same way that we have a lot of gender technocrats, right, who are not feminists, but they'll get the $100 consultancies and, you know, have the portion, that's all power to them, but they actually will do anti-feminist work as well. So that's the first thing. The second thing, I think that it is important, I think part of the ground we've lost in having to indulge and assuage the guilts and the consciences of people who are more powerful than us has taken us away from taking care of ourselves. I think the reason that the feminist movement anywhere in the world has made the gains it has is because once upon a time we were not so apologetic. We did what we did, and we didn't disagree, and we died, and we fought, and we bled, and we changed certain things. We are nowhere near the end, and I just think we've lost the daring at a collective level. And we had the daring when we decided, I think, so part of what Jesse was saying, not throwing the baby out of the bathwater, I think that one of the things that we have let go of is the right to organize in women-only spaces. And I am not prepared to apologize for it. And my feminist male friends who are really feminist, well, you know, if they think that is something that they should contest, maybe they shouldn't be my feminist friends. Maybe they should learn, like Malwanda, how to listen in feminism. So I'm tired of being nice. And I am Rachel. Can I, you know, and I'm not apologizing.
Thank you.
I'm not apologizing for choosing women exclusively anymore. The other people can sort themselves out.
Okay. There's a lot of us. It's getting to time where people might want to have a bit of wine, a bit of food, and I'm sure there are lots of you who also would like to continue the conversation with Pumla. There are lots of us. There's one of her. If you're somebody who wants to do that, make sure she's got a glass of wine.
Oh, she doesn't drink alcohol. So you need to have some other kind of drugs. That's not what I mean by things we can't speak about. This is
it's
so
been tweeted already and retweeted thoroughly.
I want to thank a couple of
people.
A lot of
people at my back, they'll mess with it so that it goes away.
Scramble tweeting. I want to thank a couple of people before thanking Pumla. I want to thank Mary Haynes and Desiree Lewis from the Gender Equity Unit and Women and Gender Studies at UWC, who are
Desiree Lewis is over there, Mary Haynes is over there.
And thank you very much for bringing some of your students, for always being in partnership with the AGI, particularly around this kind of work. We're deeply honored, and sister. Thank you to
what's her name? Thank you to what's her name?
Thank you to what's her name. Thank you to Hilda Ferguson, who is sitting right there, who works at the AGI and is responsible for the food that you are about
and
to
for
eat.
Getting me here. Thank you, Hilda, and I'm sorry about the weirdness I have on email.
And thank you to Selena Modovano, who also works at the AGI, who is... She hasn't been tweeting. She's been doing something much worse. The tweet lasts for 144 characters and then it's gone. She's been... It's here forever.
Tweets never go. They're never gone.
How come?
Because they keep going. There's one thing that go, they never go away.
Okay. Things I need to learn. But mostly, honestly, thank you, Pumla. Thank you for the energy, for the dynamism, for the permission, for rage, which is not, it's not a new permission, whether it's Audrey Lorde or Steve Biko or Pumla Kola. There's nothing that has been done in relation to creating the possibility of different embodiment than rage. It's called being hurtful in some languages. And it's like the willingness. Yeah. There's been willingness to risk there. Mm. On which note, can I ask you to thank Pumla to eat and to talk with one another more?